based upon the passage that we're going to be looking at today. All right, so we sang it this morning, we sang it tonight, and it really is a passage about, man, show us Christ, and you, Lord, have the words of eternal life. Where else would I go? And you're going to hear the disciples say that. But before we get to the scripture today, I have a really easy question for you. What was the favorite part of your day today? Just out of curiosity, throw it out there. All right, yeah. Tear it up. You guys were my favorite part. Obi-Wan. Yeah.
I think it was hanging with
your
family.
Neighborhood. All right. Man, there are so many really cool things here. When I was your age, there was only one thing that I could possibly even imagine, and that was food. The reason food was such an important part of my life is because I had an extraordinary metabolism. All right? How many of you know what a metabolism is? All right? It is the amount that your body kind of burns up energy. All right, so I was like a 6 foot, probably closer to like a 5 foot 10, 95 pound kid, because as soon as I ate, it was gone, right? I would just burn through energy like nothing. I had to eat like every 3 hours. It was just eat, and I could eat a lot. I really could. I mean, I remember eating like 12 pieces of chicken at the age of 10, and I'm like, where did it go? And I'm like, I just burned it, just like that. All right, now some of you are like, I wish I had that problem. You know, but as a guy at your guys' age, you couldn't put on any weight at all. It was kind of like, ugh. But you know what, I do want to say this. I am no Joey Chestnut. Amen? Do you guys know who Joey Chestnut is? He's the man of July. What? He's from Indiana? Is that what you said? Westfield, Indiana. The man from Westfield, Indiana. All right, this guy can eat 63 hot dogs in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, 63 hot dogs. No way in my entire life could I eat that many hot dogs. You're eating right now. Love it. All right, Joey Chestnut. Do you have a picture of him up here? Mad props to Joey Chestnut. Get it in there, right? He dunks it in water and shoves it in his mouth. He's the man, right? The absolute man when it comes to eating. Now, that gets me excited. I love Joey Chestnut, right? In my heart of hearts, I'm like, man, I can't be 6'10" in the NBA, but man, I can eat, right? I can ascribe to this game of life eating food like nothing in the world. Wow, I got you guys excited. That's fantastic. That's exciting. But I have to say this. Regardless of how much any of us can eat, I don't think I've ever gotten full by just looking at food. Is that fair? Right? Nobody brings this in front of you and says, all right, time to eat, guys. Look at it. Just look at it. Just look at it. Yeah, yeah. See it? I'm full. This is good. This is good. Okay, it's not that good. But hey, you know what? If you are really hungry, yeah, you want some? All right. I don't want to get crumbs all over. I don't want to ants. Sorry. All right, but you get it, all right? If you have a bunch of food in front of you, you aren't just going to be like, man, that food is amazing, and then you just walk away, right? I go to Paris, right, and I'm going to walk around and look at all the food, and man, that food in France was amazing. Did you eat it? No. I just watched it. I watched it. It was amazing, all right? There one time this person actually came over and ate some. It was incredible. But nobody does that. You see, food is meant to be eaten. And Jesus calls himself the bread of life. We're going to look at a passage today where Jesus says some pretty outstanding things. And the primary message that he has for us is that he needs to be consumed. He needs to be consumed. Jesus is no good to you if you just sit there and stare at him. Jesus wants us, longs for us, understands that life is only found when we actually consume Jesus. So we're going to be in John 6, just like we were this morning, and we're going to pick up exactly where we were this morning. So we're in verse 41, chapter 6, 41, and I'm going to read through this, and then I'm going to talk about some reasons why not everybody consumes Jesus. So listen to that as we go through here. So if you have your Bibles, please go there. It's a really long passage, so I don't think I typed it out. Yeah, there it is. All right, my hands were getting tired. All right, verse 41. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus, right? "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" That's a really good question. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Notice he repeats that a couple times. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching." Yep, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the very beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And really, Jesus asks all of us. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. There's some really hard teachings in this passage. The Pharisees weren't wrong, right? And when I was studying this, I came across a guy named D.A. Carson who's really, really wise, and he found four different reasons why people might have left Jesus in this moment after this teaching. I want to run down all four of these because I think they're really good, and I've added a little bit here. So what were these four reasons why people left Jesus after this teaching? Number one, some just wanted literal food or a Messiah that meets their perceived needs. Some just wanted literal food. Man, and can't we be like that too? Can't we just say, Lord, I just want what I want from you. I don't want all of this other stuff. I came to you looking for some help in this situation. And so now you're asking a bit too much from me, God. So I don't feel like I'm going to go that direction because I really just want my bread. I'm hungry. I really just kind of wanted some popularity. I really just wanted a community to belong to. There's lots of times I think we come to God and we're just like, you know what? I kind of want what I want and I kind of want what I don't want what you want, Lord. And I think this goes back to what we talked about this morning from verse 26 in this passage where it says, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You just want more. You just want more of things that you think I can give you. And so that was number one, why people wanted to leave. They didn't want to consume what Jesus had to say because they wanted to consume what they wanted to consume. The second reason is they wanted to come on their own terms. This is a big one. They wanted to come on their own terms. Some of us say things like, but I can do this, right? I can do this. I like Jesus, but I don't need Jesus. I can find my way, right? I can work my tail off and get all the money that I want. And then I'll be happy. I don't need Jesus for this. Well, I can just become a TikTok sensation. Okay, not me, maybe you, all right? But I know that road's gone. Nobody looks at a 40-year-old man on TikTok, all right? That'd be weird. I hope that's weird, okay? I hope there aren't a lot of 40-year-olds. I don't know. That's kind of strange. Anyway, not my point. Not my point. I know, I said TikTok, my fault, all right? But we all just think to ourselves here, like how many people are like, you know what, Jesus says he's the only way. The only way to have life is to consume Jesus. And you're thinking, well, I kind of want to consume something else and get life. Because there's some other philosophies of the age which sound really good. Right? Maybe I can just live like the Buddhist lifestyle. Like that's worked for a few people. I can do that. Or really, sometimes it's like, you know what? I just kind of want to sit around and do what I want and yet get what Jesus wants to give me. I don't want to accept your terms, Jesus. And we see some of this in verse 44, where it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last name. I will raise them up at the last day. There's only one way, Jesus says. This is it. The Father's got to draw you, and then you got to come and consume me. There's no other way. And you know what? Whenever you say there's only one way, our culture is going to just blow up at you. Because our culture really doesn't like that. We want to say, you know what? Tolerance, guys. What about tolerance? There's got to be other ways. It's just not nice to say there's only one way. And yet this is exactly what Jesus says. And so that frightens people. That frightens me. I don't think I can consume Jesus. I don't think I can do it. Here's the third one. This one's hard for a lot of us too. Some didn't want anything new. Some didn't want anything new. This is super hard. You know, there are people who have lived one way for a really long time and gotten really comfortable, right? And that's us too, right? I get comfortable doing what I'm doing. And so I don't want to go in this new direction. If you think about the Pharisees here, they've been living through the law of Moses for a really long time. Their entire lives revolved around the laws that Moses put forth. And yes, God gave laws, but then they added so many more, and they spent their entire days, months, years, following every single 613 of those extra laws that they put in place. And they're like, whoa, 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 you're telling me that I have to give up all 613 of those extra laws and just consume you? That's ludicrous. Why would I stop living that way? Just to consume you? Sometimes it seems a little easy. And yet, you're asking someone to give up their entire identity. Give up who you are so that you consume Jesus. That's really offensive to somebody. You know how you've been sitting around playing video games all day? Oh, that's not going to save you, man. It's not going to save you. That's offensive. But that's what the gospel does. Jesus says, no, 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 I'm the way. You're going to have to give up those other ways of trying to find life. And you have to consume me. We try to consume sports, popularity, food. Oh, I love food. All right, that one's hard. Things. Oh, my goodness, things. We just moved a week ago. And you know what? When you move from one house to another house, you know what you see? All the things you have. And it's just like, oh, I have so many things. All right? Should have had more garage sales. I didn't want to do that to your wife. I didn't want to do that. That's just mean. Yeah, more garage sales. But I have to give up those things. Those things aren't the way. I have to have a new identity, not wrapped up in the amount of things that I have or the relationships that I have. No, it has to be all about Jesus. This is offensive. That's why some people left. And then the fourth reason. Yeah, this one's gross. Yeah, some people didn't understand. So they're like blood drinking and eating flesh. Yeah, I'm out. Fair. Okay? If that's what somebody heard and they're like, no way. I give them a lot of credit. Yeah, good for you. Cannibalism is not it. Okay? Exactly. Bless you. You know what? I love sneezes, and that was a good one. Seriously, yeah. Give him a round of applause. Yeah. Man, speaking of being offensive, I've heard a lot of really bad sneezes. That was not one of them. That was fantastic. Yeah, blood drinking, flesh eating, it's unlawful. You're not supposed to do it, and it's gross. So many left. Again, verse 66 is just crazy. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. There's so many different reasons to stop following Jesus. There's so many different reasons. It's such a hard teaching to say that he's the only way to the Father. But what does this say about those who do consume Jesus? So let's flip it on its head. You know what? Not everybody left Jesus that day. And praise Jesus, it didn't happen. There were 11 disciples who said, I ain't doing it. I ain't walking away at this point. I believe you, Jesus, that I need to consume you. And so what do we want to see in this passage? I want you to look at verse 51 with me because it kind of answers that, what kind of life does believing produce in me? Go to verse 51. I think it's one of the primary verses in this text, but there's just so many. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so I'm just going to say this very succinctly. It's really simplistic, but I think it's really profound. What kind of life does believing produce in me? Here's the statement. Consuming Jesus is eternal life. Consuming Jesus is eternal life, which is why if you don't consume Jesus, you can't have it. If you don't consume Jesus, you can't have eternal life. Consuming Jesus is eternal life. That's eternal life. And so I have two questions from that. The first one is, what does it mean to consume something? Right? And I think you guys understand what it means to consume something. It's a word that I think we still use a little bit. The first one, it's eating, right? We know that. If I eat something, I'm consuming it. It's going in my mouth. It's processing, right? And so consuming Jesus is kind of processing what he has to give to us. It's processing him, himself, and what he's accomplished. That's part of consuming. Here's another one. If someone reads through a book really fast, we say they consumed it, right? They're like, man, they consumed that book. They just from start to finish, just like that. Now, why in the world would anyone consume a book that fast? Because they got absorbed in it, right? It's like they were there. And that's what we're supposed to do with Jesus. We're supposed to be absorbed by Jesus. He's supposed to be on the forefront of our minds. We're to get wrapped up in him and what he's done and what he's said. He needs to be a part of our very being in that moment, as if we lose ourselves for him. Third one, what does it mean to consume? We call shoppers consumers because they choose often over and over. A shopper is called a consumer. So what does this mean? That means when I go to the market, I choose Jesus. When I go to the sports field, whatever one it is, I choose Jesus. When I have an instrument to choose, I choose Jesus. I'm choosing Jesus no matter what my options are. And so whether I become a musician, a farmer, if I become a pastor, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever I become, I'm still choosing Jesus. That's consuming Jesus. He becomes everything in us. The fourth one, television is judged by the number of consumers. We watch him. We keep him in front of us at all times. I'm consuming him. I want to see him. I want to know him. I can't wait to get up in the morning and look at the scriptures to discover more Jesus. I can't wait till that time comes around. That's consuming Jesus. And we can say someone is consumed, right, with a video game. They're enthralled. They just can't let it off their mind. Their everything is into this. I'm all about Jesus. That is consuming Jesus. Jesus says consuming him is eternal life. And so the second question, besides what is consuming, is what is eternal life? We miss something in English, I think, because we see the word eternal and we think one thing. When in fact, in Scripture, when it says eternal, we should think two different things, both true. The first one you guys all know, right? What is eternal? Forever. We know that, and that's what we think, okay? But in Scripture, eternal has a second meaning. It also means fullness. Fullness. So it's not just eternal life, it's the best life. It's the full life. It's exactly what life is supposed to be. The greatest life you could ever imagine. So it's not just like, hanging around with halos going, look at my harp skills. I never had them on earth, but now, woo, listen to this. No, it's not that. This is actually the greatest life you could possibly ever imagine. And Jesus says, you can only find it when you're consuming me. All those other things we consume, they waste away and we have to consume some more and more and more and more. But when we consume Jesus Christ, we experience eternal life. Again, not just forever, although that's true, but we experience the fullness of what life is supposed to be like. And so I have a question for you. How malnourished are you? How malnourished are you? Have you been consuming Jesus? Or have you been consuming something else? What are you looking to find life? Because sometimes we start with really good intentions and then we falter. I'm guilty just as much as anybody else. How are we at consuming Jesus? Because the more you consume Jesus, the more eternal life is in you. And you experience what you actually desire and long for. Remember, Jesus fulfills our greatest desire. Our greatest desire. Consume him. And we experience that. I thought of Augustine while writing this because he has a really cool quote. This guy was like 400 AD or something like that. I don't remember when he existed. It was a long time ago. And he said this. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Resting in you. Eternal life is right in front of us, folks, every day. But it's up to us to consume it. It's one thing to look at this bread again and just say, man, look at that bread. That's some good bread. Jesus is so good. Look at him. Ah, Jesus is so good. But you know what? Jesus says, just looking at me isn't what I'm asking you to do. It's only good if you consume me. Consume me. I want to go back to that verse. Do you mind putting up verse, 51? Yeah, that's it. Thanks. You'd think I'd know what verse I was talking about. Yeah, 51 up there again. It's almost there. There it is. Yeah. What does he say? It says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus Christ promised that he would give himself so that we could consume him. And he gave himself by going up on that cross on his own will. No one put him up there. I've heard someone ask, who put him up there, the Romans or the Jews? The correct answer is nobody. Nobody can tell Jesus what to do. Jesus goes up on his own. If he wants to go up on the cross, he's going to go up on the cross. And that's what he did. He went up there. He did it because he knew that a righteous person had to die for the unrighteous person. That he was going to die for the people who weren't even seeking him. So that one day, if they should turn from their ways and choose him and consume him and believe in him, that their sins, their unrighteousness would be left on the cross with Jesus and we would receive his righteousness and his life. And so he went up to that cross. He died on his own will. It was him who gave up his life. Crucifixion has killed every single person who's ever been crucified except for Jesus. Jesus gave his own life. He went up to the cross and gave his own life. Then he rose again. And he says, if you consume me, if you believe in me, and not just like this weird belief, yeah, I believe Jesus exists. Of course you do. He did. But if you actually like really believe, which is so much like consuming, that you're all into Jesus. If you are all into Jesus, you get at no cost. It's called grace, at no cost. This fullness of life that he has promised to you. He is the bread of life. And eternal life is found in him. And the beautiful part of it is there's another word that I circled in this verse. It's for the world, man. And that's good news. That's really good news. Because Jesus could have just come and saved the 11 disciples. He could have done that, right? He could have come down and just been like, you know what? I was born into a Jewish family. I'm just going to save the Jews. And he didn't do that. No, he said, I'm going to make this available for every single person who was willing to believe in me. And God is pretty awesome. He even did it into the past. Anybody who looked forward to me is like consuming me and eating me. And for the people in the future, the people who aren't going to see them, remember, blessed are those who believe and don't see, like us. He died for the world. Yeah, that one wasn't as good. That's okay. Sorry to offend. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to say weak. Oh, that was rough. Yeah, all right, fine. You feel bad for him. But it doesn't matter how you sneeze. Jesus died for the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yeah. Boom. Jesus. And so I want to leave you with this tonight. We're going to talk about this a lot, because when you talk about Jesus, you just can't not talk about what he did on the cross for us. But this is a big moment when we're talking about Jesus being the bread of the life. And if you're someone who has never consumed Jesus, you've never tasted and seen how good that life is, don't waste another moment. The fullness of life is right in front of you. You can take it. Anytime you want, you can take it. It is available to you. Jesus has suffered so that you had the opportunity, even tonight, even tomorrow. And so I think it's in honor of him that you consider, maybe this be that night. Maybe this be that night. And if that's you, if you're like, man, I want this eternal life that God's promising, then this is what I want you to do, and this is super important. When we're done here tonight, you find your leader as fast as you can, okay? Because I don't want to embarrass you up here. I want you to find your leader, and I want you to tell them, I want that eternal life. Not just the forever stuff. Like, that's good. Like, forever is good, right? But I want that fullness part too. And I want you to go, and I want you to tell them, and they're going to talk to you, and they're going to help you understand exactly what it means to consume Jesus on a daily basis. And if you're the type of person who you started out, and you tasted, and it was good, and you were living high, and it was awesome, and then life just smacked you in the side of the head, and you're just like, oh, I'm starting to live for other stuff again, take this moment, go back, start consuming Jesus again. Spend some real high quality times with Jesus. Get in the Word. Start praying. Start thinking about him more often. When you have a decision to make, think about Jesus. Right? When you're getting ready to check out colleges, think about Jesus. Everything you do, just start thinking about Jesus. Start feeding on him. God's made it possible for you too to come back to him anytime, any place. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the bread of life. You have the words of eternal life, just as we sang. May we be like the 11 who said, Lord, where else am I going to go? I've tasted you. You're so good, and the life that you give is so much better than any life I'd ever experienced. And so we go to you, Jesus, over and over and over again for as long as I am possible. I am able. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that you are stirring their hearts to consume you for the first time, we know that you're going to welcome them with open arms, excited, saying, I've been waiting for you. Come, experience life. Give them courage to say, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And for those who have been following you, Lord, help us to consume you more and more and more, to come hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for you, Jesus, because you are life. You are the bread of life. You quench our hunger. You quench our thirst. We got nowhere else to go, nor do we want to go anywhere else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yeah, Jesus is pretty good, isn't he? So I want you to go to your small groups now. I think you guys have devos. Go to your leaders, folks. Talk to them if this is a decision you want to make here tonight.